Or if you have your Bibles, be turning to Mark chapter 5. We're going to, last Sunday night and tonight, God's led me away from Exodus on the Sunday night. And tonight, I really believe that somebody is going to be set free, that you're going to receive the answer from God that you've been seeking for a long, 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 long time, and you haven't just been able to find the answer. Well, I truly believe that what we're going to show you tonight and reveal to you from the Word of God is going to speak to your heart, and you're going to be set free. You might even be like a guy I heard of recently. He got so blessed in the service, he skipped the amen and went straight to yee-wee. So, I guess that'd be one of them, that'd be a southern amen, I guess. In Mark chapter 5, of course we know this is talking about the lady with the issue of blood, but it's a very powerful story, so I want us to look at it in depth tonight. Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 25, says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years." This is something she's had for a long time. "And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse." Now let's stop right there just a second. This is somebody that's really trying to get over her ailment. This isn't somebody that's trying to just get sympathy. This lady had spent everything she had. She had been to many physicians, and it said that she had suffered many things. She had gone through a lot of different treatments. You know, what kind of treatments did they have back then? I don't know. But it says she had spent all that she had. So apparently, even back then, doctors were expensive. In verse 27, it says, "When she heard about Jesus..." Boy, that'll change your life right there, won't it? "When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole.'" And we've talked about that before, how the, you know, we just read that statement, and she says, "Oh, if I could just walk up and touch him." No, it's a lot deeper than that. She is saying over and over and over, "I have got to get to Jesus. I have to touch Jesus. Everything in my life depends on me touching Jesus." Just like the song we sung this morning. It says, "I am desperate for you." This lady was desperate for Jesus. Again, in verse 28, she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. "Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?'" Now, look at verse 31 very closely. "But his disciples said to him, 'You have got to be kidding. What do you mean, who touched you?'" Modern day language. "And he looked around to see her who'd done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down," in other words, she came to worship him, "and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" Now, I want us to look at the scene here in detail. We know that Jesus had just healed the man that had the demon over in Gadarenes. I hope I'm saying that right. I've never been sure about that word. But he left there, he came across Capernaum, he got out of a ship, and immediately a great crowd thronged around him. And there's just a massive amount of people here. Now, during all of this, a leader of the synagogue, whose name is Jairus, came to Jesus and said, "Would you please come heal my daughter? She's at the very point of death." And we all know that Jesus said, "Sure, I'll be glad to." So they were headed out. And I can just imagine that I'm going to call it the rumor of Jesus going to heal Jairus' daughter gathered in even more people. I mean, can you just imagine they're walking down the street and everybody says, "Where are you going?" "This man thinks he can heal this girl." Well, they all just start coming together and they want to go see this big event. And in the midst of all of this, one weak, feeble, sick lady was desperate to touch Jesus. Again, that's a key word here, folks. I preached a sermon before that we have to be hungry. Well, we really don't know in America what hunger is. You know, I haven't had anything to eat since probably 12:30 today, and that's, what, 6.5, 7 hours? I think I'm hungry, but I'm not really hungry. I want something to eat, but we really don't know what hunger is. We don't know what it is to go days without food and to really have an intense hunger. Well, this lady was desperate. She was hungry to touch Jesus. Now, imagine this in your mind. This mob of people, and this little, sick, feeble lady is trying to get through this crowd. It would be strong for a big, old, tough guy to get through that crowd, but this lady is so committed to get to Jesus that she finally gets to him. Now, there's some things that we can learn from this lady. There's some things we are going to learn from this lady tonight. I want you to look at some of the things with her. Number one, and this is going to be the main point of the whole thing. There were many that pressed upon Jesus that day, but there was only one that really touched him. Now think about that. There was probably thousands of people there. They were all thronging around Jesus. They were all there rubbing shoulders with him. But there was really only one person that touched him. One of my greatest desires in life, and one of the greatest thrills I get in life, is when I see a Christian that gets sick and tired of just being in the crowd. And they finally say, "Yeah, I'm done with the crowd. I have to get to Jesus." When we get to that point, when we are so desperately hungry to get to Jesus that we'll make that commitment, then we are definitely going to have a changed life. I want us to be to the point that we're no longer satisfied with just being in His presence, but that by faith we would be the one that reaches out and literally draws power out of Jesus. Now think about this. Thousands around him, thousands touching him in one way or another, but only one touches him with faith and determination and commitment. And only one draws power out of Jesus. Jesus probably did not even feel her physical touch. It said that she touched the hem of his garment. She could have done that and he would have never felt it. But she touched him in such a way that the Bible says immediately Jesus felt power being drawn out of him. Let me throw this out here. Jesus didn't go there to heal her. Where was he headed? He was headed to go heal Jairus' daughter. That lady could have said, "Oh, he's busy. I'll catch him at another time." No, she didn't let that stop her. She got to Jesus, and the Bible clearly says that her faith drew that power out of Jesus. A lot of times we're waiting on Jesus to touch us. But folks, we need to be just like this lady. We need to reach out and touch him. Now, when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who touched me?" the disciples literally thought he was crazy. And can you just see that scene? What do you mean, "Who touched you?" We can't even hardly walk. They're mobbing around us. They're thronging around us. They're pressing and pushing upon us. But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me." How many people had the opportunity to touch him that day like she did? Everybody that was there. But only one had that commitment. And Jesus replied to his disciples, "Well, they all brushed up against me, But somebody just touched me, and power was drawn out of me, and their life will forever be changed. Now, here's what I want to challenge you with tonight. Will you be the one in the crowd that's not satisfied with just being in the presence of Jesus, but you're the one that is committed to touching him in a way that will forever totally change your life? You think that lady's the only one in the crowd that had a need that day? No. I mean, probably almost everybody in that crowd had a need of some kind or another. But we're not told of anybody else in that crowd, other than Jairus, that touched Jesus in a way that it changed their lives. Folks, to me, that is so sad. Everybody else there that day was in the presence of Jesus. But they left just like they came. And most Sundays, Sunday nights, when I preach, I go home and I think about it. Okay, how many people really had their life changed today? Now, I wouldn't do what I'm doing unless I think it changed lives. I am convinced it changes lives for the people that want it to change their life. But folks, you can literally come to church, and I've seen people do it, literally go to church their whole life and never, ever, ever get changed by the power of God. They might be a Christian, but they're wandering around out there in the wilderness, and they're not experiencing what God has for them. They've never made the commitment to be that, like this lady, and they've never said, I am determined to touch Jesus no matter what I have to do. You can't be casual and touch Jesus. If that lady had just been casual about the third person that knocked her out of the way, she would have said, well, this is too hard. Do things knock you out of the way? Well, they do me. I'm sure they probably do you too. We have to be committed to touch Jesus. And again, I'm encouraging you not to be satisfied just being in the crowd, not to be satisfied with just being in the presence of Jesus, but I'm asking you tonight to be determined to touch Jesus to where it will change your life. And you will find many instances in the Bible. We have two right here before us tonight. This lady and Jairus, they had to do some things to get what they wanted. Jairus was a leader in the synagogue. He had to humble himself to go before the people, or in front of the people, let me put it that way, and tell Jesus he needed help. He was a man of high prestige, but he put all of that behind him. This lady, with her issue of blood, was not supposed to be in public, and she was not supposed to be touching anybody else. Do you think that mattered to her? She could have been stoned. She could have been killed for what she did. But she was committed to get to Jesus and to touch him. And we're going to have to do some things differently than we're doing if we're really going to touch Jesus in a life-changing way. I've spoken this morning, and I've spoken on several different occasions about how important our words are. It's been several years ago now, but I was reading this story one day, and it was like somebody hit me in the face with a brick. I had a revelation that has changed my life on the way that I pray and the way that I read the Bible and the way that I go before God. If you'll notice in verse 29, when she touched Jesus, it said that she was healed. Well, there's nothing wrong with being healed, is there? I mean, that's a good thing. But in verse 34, after telling him all the truth, in other words, confessing, using the right confession coming out of her mouth, Jesus told her to go in peace, that she was now made whole. What's the difference? Well, when you're healed, you might have some lingering consequences of the past. You might have some visible signs or some inward signs of what had happened. But when you're made whole, it's just like you never had that plague. Remember the 10 lepers that came to Jesus and asked to be healed? And Jesus sent them on their way, and it says as they went on their way, they were healed. But one of the 10 came back and started giving Jesus thanks and praise and glory and honor. And what does it say about him? It says he was made whole. The others, their leprosy stopped where it was. They were healed. Folks, that 10th one was made whole like he had never had leprosy before. Again, our words are so vitally important, and we need to truly understand that. Now, when we do touch Jesus, two people are going to know it. Number one, you're going to know it. In verse 29, it says that this lady knew that she was healed. You cannot touch Jesus without realizing that something significant has happened in your life. I've been on, I'm going to call them experiences. I don't really like that term, but that's something we can relate to. I've been on experiences where it was just me and God for an extended period of time. And when I left there, I was a changed person because of that encounter. I've had friends that have had what they call mountaintop experiences. They touched Jesus during that time, and they came back changed people. You cannot touch Jesus without realizing that something significant has happened in your life. When you really touch him, when you pull and draw power out of him like this lady did, it's going to change you. So she knew she was healed. But Jesus also knew it. In verse 30, it says that Jesus felt power being drawn out of him. Again, stop and think about that. She didn't stop him and ask him, Jesus, would you please heal me? She was just committed by faith. And the Bible even tells us it was by faith. Jesus says, woman, your faith has made you whole. It was by faith. She literally was so committed to getting what she needed that she drew that power out of him. I don't know if you've ever heard this kind of preaching before or not. I was way up in my late 30s, early 40s before I ever heard this talked about. And I'm like, now, I know God can heal, but we can literally draw power out of him? Yeah, we can. Here's a great example of it. And in reality, not only will you know it, not only will Jesus know it, but before long, the multitude's going to know it. Can you imagine when she was healed that day, and then when she was made whole, right in front of those people, don't you think some people took notice of that? If she was weak and feeble and maybe bent over and maybe just huffing and puffing because of all of her lack of energy, and Jesus made her whole and she stood up straight and she looked good and she looked healthy, don't you know people went, wow, what just happened in our presence? And in many cases in the Bible, it says that the people marveled at what Jesus did. Wouldn't it be great to have people marvel at what Jesus does in your life? It can happen. It can happen. Now, here's the big difference, and I really want you to tune in on this. I've talked about the fact that there was a multitude of people there that day. And I, in my mind's eye, I see the street so full you literally could not hardly even walk. A mob of people. Well, the difference is there is an omnipresence of God and there is a manifested presence of God. You cannot go anywhere where God is not already there. This may shock you, but did you know that God is already in every beer joint in the world? He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's in every beer joint. He's in every drug house. He's everywhere. Now, we don't like to think of that. Oh, no, God would never go there. God's already there. Some of you are looking at me like, I never thought about that before. Paul said, even if I lift up my eyes in hell, there you are. That's the omnipresence of God. But the manifested presence of God is when you draw the power of God into your life and it is manifested or displayed. That's the manifested presence of God. Everyone there that day in Capernaum was in the omnipresence of God, but only one little unnamed lady was in the manifested presence of God. And you know, we spend all of our time looking at her, but folks, I can't help but feel sorry for the people that were there that got nothing. They were in the presence of Jesus and walked away completely, totally unchanged. They went home just like they came. How sad is that? How sad is it when we come to church? And yes, we are in the omnipresent presence of God. But we don't reach out and get into the manifested presence of God. The Bible tells us not to quench the Holy Spirit, but folks, I think we do it a lot of times. You know, we can be in the omnipresence of God and be blessed. But when we get into the manifested presence of God, we'll be changed. There's a huge difference there, and I hope you're keying in on that difference. You know, many times we plead with God to touch us. But in reality, it may be that we need to make the effort to touch Him. Now, just like the lady, she made the choice that day. She was going to touch Jesus no matter what she had to do. And I'm not saying we have to go to this extreme, but I can see her being pushy. Maybe not rude, but very aggressive. Again, she was weak and feeble. She was going to do whatever she had to do to get through that crowd because she realized Jesus was her only hope. And we definitely need to do whatever we have to do to get into the manifested presence of Jesus. My final encouragement to you today is don't settle just to be in the presence of Jesus. That lady could have been just like everybody else that day. She said, well, I'm in His presence. Why isn't something happening? Don't settle for that. When you come to church, be committed that you're going to seek Him and you're going to reach out and touch Him. We do that through a lot of different ways. You do that through your Sunday school lesson. We do that through the praise and worship songs, through the hymns that we sing, through the message. Don't take all of those things or any of those things lightly. Those are all magnificent ways to reach out and touch the Lord. But whatever you do, don't come to church or don't go into your Bible study time, your private time, and leave there untouched or unchanged. We have an opportunity to reach out and touch Jesus that literally should blow our minds of the power that we have available to us. The difference is, just like this lady, we have to reach out in faith, believing and saying, no matter what I have to do, I am going to touch Jesus. And we have to be so determined that we don't give up until we get there. We give up way too easy. We're too afraid of what somebody might say about us. We're too concerned about, well, I need to watch my TV show before I go do my Bible study. Not going to get much from God that way, are you? God really doesn't care if you watch as the world turns, where He does care. He really wishes you wouldn't watch as the world turns. That's nothing but trash there. Not just that one show, but most of the shows on TV. We put all that before God and then we wonder, you know, why is God not working in my life? You're not reaching out to touch him. It's that simple. But folks, think about this. Why do we come into the omnipresence of God and settle for that? Wouldn't it be great to have a relationship so close to Jesus that you could literally reach out and touch him and be changed? Let's stand and pray. Father, I thank you for the illustration that you've given us of the lady with the issue of blood. I thank you that you have put her in here, even though she is an unnamed lady. There's no telling how many countless lives have been changed because of her example. People that were waiting on Jesus to reach out and touch them finally realized, I don't have to wait. I can reach out and touch him. And I'm sure there were many in the crowd that day saying, oh, if he would only touch me, I know I would be healed. If he would only touch me, this would be fixed or that would be solved. All these different things. They were waiting on him. But Father, I see from this story that you don't want us to wait on you. This lady and Jairus both came to Jesus and was very persistent and determined to get their needs met. And they both, in their own way, reached out and touched Jesus. And he met the needs that they had. So Father, I pray tonight you would help us to be committed to coming out of just in your presence, and that we would come into your manifested presence by being committed to touching you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.